Welcome to the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Podcast. It's brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. And for a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN. You guys are supposed to jump in there.
Fun.
Fun.
Use that offer
code.
All right.
This is...
No, it isn't. Email us, fantasyfootball at cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. And I need you to do that because today on the Fantasy Baseball Show, I read a fantasy basketball email. Because they all just say podcast and I get confused.
You sounded like Radio Man there, too. You were using Well, I need you to do that for me.
Well, you know what, Dave? We've got a great show for
it's
everyone
It's a hopping
today.
Wednesday.
We got emails. We got a lot
the
of news.
The temperature is 75 degrees.
Cam Newton's
outside.
Having ankle surgery.
And
Ben
the Panthers
got a new
suck.
Team. Arian Foster has been medically cleared. And Jamie has 10 winners and 10 losers of free agency that Dave will react to accordingly. And if you're a fantasy baseball fan, please watch Fantasy Baseball today. We're doing a live draft show tomorrow on Thursday at noon Eastern time to help you out.
Adam?
Yes.
How would you like me to react to Jamie's
free agency list? You have to do...
enthusiastically, one way or the other.
10 jumping jacks for the guy you like best, 9 for the 9th best, 8 for 8th best.
And if you That's like 200 jumping jacks.
That's a lot of
jumping jacks. I can't do that.
And if you get me to laugh anywhere close to what Nando did last week... You win.
You were out of control with that laughing.
You're not going to be able to pull that one.
Sounded like my grandmother.
All right. Email of the day number one is from Mark in Tuscola, Illinois.
I can't believe this is email of the day number one with the great email we got about Lumberjack, whatever his name was.
I read that one. I thought it was funny. I didn't know if it would translate well on the podcast. Here's the question. Hello, Romeo, Benvolio, and Tybalt. What are your thoughts on taking Bridgewater, Bortles, Manuel, and Watkins in this year's fantasy draft? Maybe he meant Manziel.
I would think he meant Manziel.
Bridgewater, Bortles, Manziel, and Watkins in this year's fantasy draft.
Hard to know until you know where they go, but I would imagine that Watkins will be the first one drafted.
Easily.
Of this group, but he might not be the first rookie drafted because there's going to be some running backs
land
in some good situations and things will shake out. But he'll be close to the top. Watkins is a really, really good talent.
Are you going to downgrade Watkins based on Tavon Austin last year?
No. Completely different person.
Depends where he ends up.
That's the most important thing.
Where do you want to see him end
up? Could end up on the same team. Never know.
Yeah.
Be surprised.
Wouldn't seem to make much sense. Although, I don't really know. Is he an outside receiver? He's not a big guy, right?
He can play anywhere.
But he's so good. He's so talented. Better player than Tavon Austin, in my opinion, for what
should
that's
be.
Worth.
Should be. It would be fun to watch them race.
And I'm not taking a flyer on any of those quarterbacks unless they end up in a great scenario, right? One of them's going to go to Jacksonville.
The best would be if any of them end up in Houston.
One of them's going to go to Cleveland. Yeah, Houston.
And Oakland, probably.
And Oakland. All right, email of the day number two.
Although Jacksonville wouldn't be horrendous.
Yeah. Could be good. Email of the day number two. Two questions. If you could reach for one player in 2014, who would it be? And who's the one player you will avoid? For me, I want Garcon, and I won't touch Jimmy Graham.
Ooh, that's interesting, because his cost is
This is from Chris from a city.
And there's a potential holdout.
Sorry, Chris from a city in Manitoba. All right, so player you'd reach for in 2014?
Andre Ellington.
It's a good one. I'm reviewing a bunch of running backs right now, and at the risk of getting laughed at by Jamie, I'm going to say Toby Gerhardt.
Okay.
I am.
You didn't
so...
make him laugh that hard, as hard as he did.
Yeah, you want to reach for
he's
him.
He's shrugging. You know, I don't think we talked about him last week being like a round 9-ish.
No, you said round 9. There's no way he's lasting the round 9.
Yeah,
round 6.
You think that's when he'll end up going?
I think
you're right.
Just based on where we have him ranked, he's going to go in that group of the third, fourth wave of running backs when everybody starts to, you know, lock up their starting four of running back receiver. He's in the flex group.
Really impressed by what I've seen.
Who's a player you'll avoid?
Cam Newton.
Toby Gerhardt. James Jones. No way would I touch that guy ever now. Ugh.
Yeah,
what
in my,
terrible,
in
terrible
my notes that I made, I wrote, sorry, James Jones, you suck now.
Yeah.
Because he's with the Raiders.
He was bad before. Now he's terrible.
He's going to catch a lot of passes. That's
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's going
based on what?
Who else is there?
Doesn't matter.
Streeter.
Streeter. Rod Streeter.
They can't throw the ball there.
All right. Cam Newton is our first news and note item. And today's news and notes are brought to you by Squarespace.com. Check it out. Cam Newton set for ankle surgery, four-month rehab, and he's going to have completely new receivers. And the O-line doesn't look so good, necessarily. But again, I mean, I brought this up. As I pull up your rankings, I thought you guys were a little low on Cam Newton. I was surprised.
Then wait till you see where I'm at now.
15th for Jamie and 14th for Dave. I didn't think, when I read this article, it immediately said to me, okay, I'm going to ask these guys what they think about it on the show this week. I didn't think you'd be downgrading him that much. He's going to be back for...
It's just the combination of everything. It's the fact of the way that they played last year. It's the fact that he has no one to throw to and there's nobody on the horizon.
He was the number five quarterback last year.
He was great.
Yeah, he was great last year.
With bad receivers.
But now he has worse.
Yeah.
But now he has a worse offensive line. He's got a tougher schedule.
I guess it couldn't get that much better.
They've got $8 million.
They've already lost out on most receivers.
Right.
And
they only have $8 million of cap space right now. And so what are they going to do?
They're going to put down money on
Santonio Holmes and Miles Austin. Kenny Britt is still out there. Like, when Kenny Britt is your best choice.
That's a good point.
That's trouble.
It could end up good by the end of the season. You know, I mean, they could make some things work. And Cam is good enough to make guys better. But it's just not attractive right now. The guy that I struggle with Cam is Russell Wilson, because Wilson doesn't have receivers really either. He's got Percy Harvin, which is good, but his receiving corps is pretty disastrous as well.
And so, you think so?
They're similar type guys. Harvin's great, but I mean, you can make
Baldwin.
It's just not great.
No, it's not,
for a team that runs the ball. And so that's like, I think Cam's a better player. So, but Wilson, I think, has better weapons, which is why I have Wilson ranked higher.
Me too.
Right now, but if Cam is ready to go, doesn't miss any training camp time, I'll move him back up ahead of Wilson.
I'm fine with him where he is, assuming he makes training camp on time.
So Jamie has him 15th, Dave has him 14th. How much of this is the ankle injury?
A little bit, because he didn't run as much as I would have hoped for last year to begin with.
He was bad to close the season.
Yeah, and I think the Panthers are going to try. Sure, but I think the Panthers are going to try and limit that running, save for the goal line. But as long as Tolbert's there, that's a guy who's going to get some touchdowns that could otherwise go to Cam. And, anytime you talk about an ankle injury that's going to put you on the shelf, I mean, they need to preserve him for what they need him for the most, which is throwing.
So he's a backup now.
He's going to be a guy, if he falls in your draft, there's going to be great value and great potential there. But I don't know if you can start him right away.
He's going to be one of those guys that you're going to see in the Cutler, Wilson, Rivers, Dalton, Roethlisberger group.
One guy stands out to me, and that's Cutler.
I agree, but I'm just saying that's where you're going to start to see him go. You know, when the top eight or nine guys go off the board, that's where you're going to start to see Cam come into play. And somebody will say, I'll take Cam and Griffin and be okay with it. I'll take Cam and Rivers and be okay with it. Whoever you consider to be your starter, and just play the matchups. But somebody will do something along those lines.
All right, Emmanuel Sanders signs with the Broncos.
Great move for him.
Yeah.
Before this happened, I was like, oh, Andre Caldwell, going to be good.
Yeah, not anymore.
And now... So Sanders was the number 33 wide receiver last season. I don't know if you can really look at anything he did last season, and it's just a different situation now. But he only caught about half of his targets. I don't know if that means anything to you. What do you think?
I haven't even moved him up in my rankings yet, which I probably should do, so you can't look at him. I don't even know if he's ranked right now in my rankings. But to me, he's at least a number three fantasy receiver for the exact same reasons why Eric Decker was – over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns for two straight years. And I don't know if Emmanuel Sanders is going to get over 1,000 and 11 touchdowns, but he's going to be in single coverage a lot. The guy's a good football player. He may not be the best receiver. He wasn't the best receiver in Pittsburgh, wasn't the best receiver in – or he's not going to be the best receiver in Denver, rather. But he's got good skills, good quickness, and they're going to use him. And don't be surprised if they start using him in the slot right next to Wes Welker on a lot of plays. They're going to move him around, and I think he's going to be very effective.
One difference between him and Decker, Decker's got 4 inches on him.
Yeah.
So, touchdowns. I don't know.
But if Sanders doesn't drop the ball as much as Decker, I would imagine that
Sanders'
that's a wash.
Speed is better, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, who do you like better, Sanders
over
Decker.
Or Decker? Easy, Sanders.
I think I'll still take Decker over Sanders. Since I don't have him ranked yet, I don't want to commit to it, but I think I will.
How about?
Definitely would in a PPR.
Riley Cooper or Emmanuel Sanders?
Not even close. Emmanuel Sanders.
Depends on Cooper's what happens to Deshaun Jackson.
Edelman or Sanders?
Edelman.
Now
moving on.
Back in New England.
We are up to James Jones signing with the Raiders. Ignore him. Number four guy. Number five.
No, I wouldn't even draft him.
He's going to be okay in a PPR as like a reserve.
What makes you say that? He's never caught 60 passes playing with the best quarterback in the NFL.
But because he was in an offense with a ton of other receivers. He's going to be the best guy there now.
Okay.
Whatever.
He's
going to
be the best guy there.
All right, you're saying 70? What's the bet? 70 catches. What's the bet?
I don't know. Let's think of something.
You name the stipulation. I will take the under by a million.
I think it has to be like one something for every catch over or under. So like if he's at 75, whatever we decide, you have to do five of them. You know what I mean? So like the bet gets incrementally, the stakes get incrementally
I'm
higher.
I'm going back to an old bet. You got to do a cartwheel if he gets 70 catches. If you're physically able to, you have to do a cartwheel.
I don't know if I'm physically able to, so I don't know.
But you're in better shape than you were when we were.
I am, but I still, I don't know.
Like what if it's you have to eat one taco per every catch?
Oh, then I hope he tears his ACL and he's out for the year because 70 tacos sounds great.
Okay, but within, you know.
There needs to be something built in for injury because if he gets hurt, then obviously I'm going to lose that bet and then I'm stuck eating 70 tacos.
Fine. Is it on a 16-game pace?
Yeah, sure.
So 70
like
divided by 16?
Of like, right.
Per game.
I don't know if
it's
I like pace because he has
times
a huge
five.
Week one.
Yeah,
and then he
that's
tears
tough.
His ACL. That's not fair.
All right.
There needs to be things. We'll talk about it. There's okay. things built in, but 70 catches, James Jones.
Okay.
Just to let you know, so his best season as a fantasy receiver was 2012 when he had 12 touchdowns.
Yes.
The Raiders receiving core combined last year. Their three top receivers, Andre Holmes, Rod Streeter, Denarius Moore. You know how many touchdowns they scored?
Eight. Four.
12.
Four.
Nine.
No, it's
13.
Six. Wait, no, eight. I'll stay with eight.
Eight? What do you say?
70.
Who is it? Holmes?
Their top three receivers. Holmes, Streeter, and
I want to say more. It's like six.
You say six, you say eight?
Yeah.
10. Holmes had one, Moore had five, Streeter had four. So, James Jones, thanks.
How about Ben Tate signing with the Browns?
I'm assuming they upgrade their quarterback, by the way. Like, part of that is
to a rookie? That's going to help him?
Yeah, good. It'll definitely. Did you see Terrell Pryor and Matt McGloin last year?
Come okay.
On. Those guys, whoever they draft will be better than those guys.
Ben Tate signs with the Browns. He fumbled five times in 14 games last season. He's a good player.
He had seven games, I believe, with 15 or more carries. How many games did he have double-digit fantasy points of those seven?
Seven games with 15 or more?
Yes.
Four.
Three.
Two.
One.
Two games double-digit fantasy points last year in the seven games where he had 15 or more carries. How many 100-yard rushing games for the Browns last year?
I'm going to say negative one.
I'll say one.
You're right in between. Zero.
I knew it would be zero.
Zero.
He's got the trivia.
Basically
today.
With the same offensive line coming back. Clearly a better upgrade in system from North Turner's running standpoint. I don't know if that's fair to say, but Kyle Shanahan's system should benefit Ben Tate because it's somewhat similar to what he ran in Houston. I don't love Ben Tate in Cleveland, but obviously it's a good opportunity for him to finally get a starting job. And the fact the way they built his contract, he is basically he gets incentives for every game that he plays.
Yep. He gets paid for every game he plays.
Yeah, he's very injury prone.
Yes.
So who is this news better for, Ben Tate or Arian Foster?
I think it's better for Tate because even if Foster was.
Yep.
Even if Foster still had Tate, he'd still be the guy.
So who do you like better this year, Tate or Foster?
Oh, Foster.
Foster.
I don't love Tate. I'll settle for Tate. I won't draft
really?
Tate.
Really?
Right.
That's a shame.
And there's some people
Tate
that are crazy
potential
about
to
Tate.
Be like, you know, a big splash.
Well, it's not a great team.
Right, exactly.
It's not a great running situation. He's injury prone. And he had chances last year with still, you know, I know Houston fell apart. Clearly, they were terrible. But they still had a decent offensive line. They still had a system that should have set up for him to have success. And he didn't take advantage of it. He's not a great receiver. He's an okay receiver.
He did average 5.4 yards per carry in 2011, but it's been down to 4.3 yards per carry in the last two seasons. 34
that,
catches, 140 receiving.
Some of that's a little misleading with his yards per carry because he was in some fourth quarter situations where he was, you know, killing the clock.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Gerhardt will have a better year than Tate?
Well, hold on. Can I do a trivia thing? I don't want to steal Jamie's thunder and do trivia, but how many 20-yard runs did Ben Tate have over the last 2 years? 25 games.
Four.
I'm going under.
Well, you have to give a number, Jamie. That's
two.
How it works.
Five. 520. How many did Toby Gerhart have?
Seven.
Zero.
He had five, and I blew it with Ben Tate because I was looking at the wrong page. Tate had six.
Oh, okay.
Gerhart had five. Now I see why I don't
now
get to
Jamie
do any of
the
trivia.
Trivia.
Yeah, Jamie's the trivia guy. So they're very – I think they're
too,
actually – I actually think they're comparable, with the exception being that Gerhart doesn't have the injury track record that Tate has.
Like, Gerhart's been hurt, though.
He's been banged up. There's no question.
So let's see where you guys have
been. You
want
to know how many games he's missed in his career?
That's not really a fair statement because he didn't really play very much when he was healthy.
I agree, but that's part of the reason why I think Gerhart's a little more appealing.
Dave has Ben Tate 18th. Jamie has Ben Tate 23rd. So that's in like the Chris Johnson range, the Andre Ellington range for Jamie.
I got Gerhart way low.
Yeah, I was just wondering that. You got to fix that, buddy.
I will. Thank you, Dad.
Where is he? Oh, there he is.
37.
That's too low.
Too low. He's going up.
All right, Arian Foster, though. So looking at Arian Foster's game logs, I know health is obviously a big issue. You guys have him 10th and 11th. Nathan has Foster 7th. But his last three games before he got hurt, 27 carries, 102 yards, and six catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown against Seattle, followed by 21 carries for 98 yards and four catches for 20 yards at San Francisco, followed by a huge day of 198 total yards against St. Louis, who was terrible against running backs last year, but obviously Seattle and San Francisco weren't. He was Foster pretty much before he got hurt.
And that's factoring in a slow start.
Yeah. So he did have a slow start.
He started
but those
to pick
three
things
games
up before he
got hurt. Were
yeah.
really good.
Yep.
And then he missed the rest of the season, only played basically seven games, eight officially. So, second round?
He's going to fall second round. I think he's a great pick in round two, you know, just because you're banking on him returning to form. And clearly the Texans are banking on him returning to form because they didn't make an effort to sign Tate. They really haven't done anything to bolster their backfield. So
not yet.
Not yet. They need to. The thing that I think you look at, if you're inclined to take a quarterback in round one or take a receiver in round one, this is the type of guy you're thrilled to get in round two.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't.
Because worried about injury.
Of course you are with Arian Foster.
That's why he's a round two pick.
Yeah.
As opposed to round one.
It's
but do you really want him to be your first running back? That's what I'm saying.
Well, if you're in the Jimmy Graham, Calvin Johnson, or Dave's boat, take a quarterback in round one.
Yeah, you're going to want to take a running back like this. You almost have to.
Yeah, like if you go with again, I'll reference the same draft we talked about the last 3 weeks. If you take Josh Gordon or A.J. Green at the end of round one, this is a guy you take early round two.
Nope, not me.
Because you're worried about him getting banged up.
Yeah,
which
it's tempting. It is tempting, though.
Right, because you know what that potential is. You know he's got, I mean, he's got 1,800-yard potential.
Yeah.
He's got 12-touchdown potential.
Yeah, that's tough.
He'll be a young quarterback's best friend if they go quarterback at the first overall pick.
But, okay, well, if I'm picking, like, 11th, and I go wide receiver, and then wide receiver with the 14th pick, second pick of the third round, of the second round, if I could take Foster there or Ben Tate at the beginning of the fourth round, I'd probably go Tate.
As opposed to, let's say, Michael Crabtree.
At the beginning of the fourth round?
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. I guess I'd have to see where Crabtree's falling, because I like Crabtree. But I think so. I think I'd rather have A.J. Green and Dez Bryant, or whoever you want, as that number two wide receiver. Or Jimmy Graham and A.J. Green.
You're not getting Jimmy Graham. Get that
at
out of
11?
Your head.
I disagree with you.
Time, you're not
in drafts with you, I'm not getting Jimmy
you're
Graham,
You're not getting
Jamie.
Jimmy Graham at 11. Because the people that are not going to take quarterbacks and don't like those running backs that start to go from 7 through 12, they're going to take Jimmy Graham or Calvin Johnson.
They're going to take Calvin Johnson. All right, fine. So if I get A.J. Green and
you're
Josh
gonna be
Gordon,
like three picks too late at 11. Sure.
Then I think I'd rather do that.
You're in love with that strategy.
I'd take I'm not necessarily in love with it.
You
I
love
just
going
really want to see if it works.
Well, I don't want to go receiver unless Calvin is one of those receivers, or if Jimmy Graham is.
The only way you're going to be happy with it is the running backs that you get, because you're obviously going to love those receivers. Nobody can take that away from anyone who follows that strategy. It's going to be who do you get as running back in round three and round four.
I'm going to get Ben Tate, and I'm going to get C.J. Spiller.
Say, look, it's not bad if that's the way you go.
It's interesting.
The last
one
time
of those
you did
guys
it,
breaks out and you've got the stud receivers to go with it, you're on your way to Happy Town.
Right. All right. What's our next news item here? James Starks staying with the Packers. We got a lot of stuff here that we can probably get through quickly.
And that's one.
James Starks with the Packers. I don't want to speculate on the quarterbacks. Let's just, because we got a lot to
Let's get
here.
To Baby Hawk.
Andre Hawkins with the Browns now.
Andrew Hawkins.
Sorry. Andrew Hawkins to the Browns. Mario Manningham to the Giants. Pettigrew to the Lions, or staying with the Lions. Ugh. Zach Miller staying with the Seahawks. Scott Chandler staying with the Bills. Quarles staying with the Packers. Anthony Dixon to the Bills. Joe Morgan back with the Saints. Brandon Weeden to the Cowboys. Anything fantasy relevant here?
Hawkins is interesting because the Browns obviously have a plan to use him, probably as a slot guy. I don't know how long he'll hold up because he's very small.
Nobody's gonna draft him.
He could be a late-round pick. He could be interesting. Put him in the interesting tier.
We will get to Jamie's winners and losers and Dave's reactions and cartwheels after I remind you that today's...
There will be no cartwheels.
Okay.
Not today.
Well, today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio, and you can take it from me because I use Squarespace to create my own professional website, and it was easy. And when I did run into a little bit of trouble, customer support is big for Squarespace. Very easy just to get into a little chat with somebody. Helped me out very quickly, and I was on my way. So the customer support's great, and all the design options are great, too. So many different ways for you to design your website. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can get help with their customer support. They have over 100 Squarespace employees on the customer care team in their New York City office. Oh, and it's cheap. I know you think maybe it costs a lot to start a website. Not if you use Squarespace. $8 a month, and it includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start a free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN to get 10% off and to show your support for the Fantasy Football Podcast here on CBSSports.com. Thank you, Squarespace, for supporting our show. That is Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. Jamie, are you ready?
No.
All right, then we'll do something else.
Okay.
All right, no, we'll go back to your winners here because you are ready. Jamie's 10 winners in free agency. We'll do it by position. Nick Foles is a quarterback that's a winner. Why?
Well, I mean, he keeps his second-best receiver from a year ago in Riley Cooper. He gets back who was the second-best receiver for the Eagles prior to his ACL injury in Jeremy Maclin, and they get Darren Sproles in trade. So Nick Foles, I'm still concerned that there's going to be some regression because that's what happens with these quarterbacks that sort of come out of nowhere. But This sort of solidifies him as a top-10 guy, at least in my mind. There are a lot of quarterbacks that won in free agency. Andrew Luck, he gets Akeem Nicks. That's another weapon for him. Joe Flacco gets Steve Smith and keeps Dennis Pitta. Matthew Stafford, he gets Golden Tate. Peyton Manning, you know, gets Emmanuel Sanders. There are a lot of quarterbacks that won. But I think Nick Foles is the biggest winner of all the quarterbacks just because of his weaponry.
More on Akeem Nicks and Steve Smith later. They are losers. So, Dave, you still have Nick Foles very high. You have him fourth.
I had him fourth before free agency started, and I thought for sure that he'd be great. Now you're adding Darren Sproles to the mix, and if they get, I don't know, like a James Jonas 70 catches out of Sproles, and maybe that's good for, you know, 600 yards just on top of what they get out of Deshaun. And this is assuming Deshaun stays with Philadelphia, which
he's
now it seems like. I don't think so either, but you never know.
That'd be
but
dumb.
If they do dump him for a draft pick, I think that would hurt Nick Foles because this offense, as it stands right now, great offensive line, very creative, very aggressive. It is run heavy, but there's a lot of passing, and it's easy passing. That's part of the reason why Foles did so well. It's just very simplified for him and so many great weapons around him. I'm thinking about moving him into the top three and kicking somebody out of the top three.
Oh, what?
Because I think...
I'm thinking about kicking you out.
Go ahead. Kick me out.
You're crazy.
I think Nick Foles is on the verge of
a
huge year if Philadelphia keeps everything intact.
My biggest
he doesn't
concern,
throw the ball enough, and he only threw two picks last year. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
sure,
there's going to be a huge regression for him, but he's still going to be very good. The concern I have with him is that, you know, Chip Kelly's so non-committal with him that if he has that Dallas game, and I know he was concussed in that game, but if he has that Dallas game and Barkley's looking good in practice and they lost a couple games.
You've entered fantasy land, Jim.
Okay, I guess I'll park right next to James Jones, 70 catches. I'm just concerned that if there's a losing streak because their schedule's going to be tougher, that do they make a quarterback switch if Foles has that 2-3 game stretch that tends to happen with these guys, you know, year over year when they're not necessarily the cream of the crop?
Come on, you know they're going to have the whole offseason to study this offense. We went into last year saying...
But the zone read is a one-trick pony.
Right, but we went into...
This offense is not.
No. But and I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I just... I mean, come on, top three? Those guys are like,
I'm getting nervous about the guy who
Famers.
I have number one right now.
Peyton Manning?
With Drew Brees.
Yeah, that guy. I'd still take Brees 10 out of 10 over Foles, but Brees should not be your number one quarterback.
Yeah.
Andre Ellington, here are a bunch of running backs that are winners for Jamie.
So was that a good enough? Did I even react to that? Do I need to react?
Obviously, you're a fan of it.
Yay.
Andre Ellington, Ben Tate, Rashad Jennings, Pierre Thomas, Toby Gerhart, Darren McFadden, they are winners. Ellington, Ben Tate, Rashad Jennings, Pierre Thomas, Toby Gerhart, Darren McFadden.
Now keep in mind, just because they're winners, this doesn't mean that they're great fantasy options. They just improve themselves because of their free agent situations.
How many of them are great fantasy options based on where you expect them to get drafted?
Ellington and Thomas are the only ones I would say are great. Tate, Jennings, Gerhart are good, and McFadden is McFadden.
Who's your favorite?
Ellington. Because
Dave,
they didn't do
favorite?
Anything. All they did was add Jonathan Dwyer. And that was one team, and they still might.
Well, they added a left tackle, too.
Well, sure.
That offensive line is going to be bad.
They improved their offensive line.
Hurt at all.
But the fact that they didn't add anybody else, that's the key for Ellington, is that you know they get rid of Rashard Mendenhall, however it happened, retiring, not bringing him back, whatever the case may be, and they brought in basically a guy to be a backup.
I've been on this podcast for years, and many times I've talked – unfavorably about Rashad Jennings. I love that signing for the Giants. I think he's adequate enough to do anything they want him to do. We don't know what David Wilson's status is going to be, but even if he comes back, I think you've got Rashad Jennings as a good short-term fix at the running back spot, and I think he'll be solid. He's not my favorite on the list.
Ellington is.
But I think Rashad Jennings is a guy, late last season, he impressed me. He was good. I think he'll still be good, if not better, in New York.
Over a 7-game stretch, he missed one game of that stretch, and 5 of those 6, he had double-digit fantasy points.
Yep.
And the one game where he didn't, he had 9.
Now, I was a little concerned because the Giants have been in the bottom third of the league in rush attempts 3 straight years, including their Super Bowl year. But they seem, you know, one quote I remember reading when they hired Ben McAdoo to be their offensive coordinator, they seem to want to run the ball more than they have been. So I hope so, but they are going to be a passing team.
Well, I think one thing you're going to see in the NFL is it's a very copycat league. You hear that all the time. Seattle's now won the Super Bowl. They did it playing smash-mouth football, physical on both sides. Teams are going to try and copy that if they have the personnel.
The Giants don't.
Well, I think Tom Coughlin's mentality is still that way.
I don't.
You don't think his mentality is that
no,
way?
No, because it's been 3 years in a row where they've really... Been Eli Manning's
team. I'm not saying that their track record suggests that. I'm saying Tom Coughlin would, if you could say, which way would you like to play football?
I don't think he wants
to drop back and throw the ball 30 plus times?
This is what I'd say. I really don't think that it's a copycat league and people are going to de-emphasize drafting quarterbacks early.
No, that's not the case. But
like, I don't think people are going to like, well, Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick did it, so we don't have to care about quarterbacks now. Let's have a smash mouth running game and a great defense. Like, I still think
you already heard one of the premier offensive minds in the game say he wants to be more physical and run the ball and be more ball control.
Who?
Sean Payton.
Oh, well, I mean, you heard Urban Meyer say that Tim Tebow wasn't going to run the ball, but when push came to shove, Tim Tebow ran the ball. They're still going to give the ball to their best player. You know, I want to see it in practice.
Of course, without a doubt. But I still think you're going to see more teams start to trend toward what Seattle did until it fails, which it will.
Or until the game forces them to start throwing more, which happened to the Giants pretty much every single
year. Yes, if the Giants are better, then they might run the ball more. But
you look at the top 3 teams in the NFC last year, Carolina being the 3rd, San Francisco being the 2nd. Their style of play is closer to Seattle than it is to Denver.
Agreed, but if you look at the top 2 teams in the AFC...
Well, no, because New England's a smash-mouth team. They're not an aerial team.
Last year they weren't.
Oh, that's fair. Do you think they want to be that team?
Yes.
Because I think...
They'll be any team that gets them wins.
I think they're doing themselves a disservice. They need to get a great wide receiver already.
Of course. But
their best team was 2007.
You're discounting Brandon LaFell, but they didn't win. They won 3 Super Bowls running
the
ball.
But they were 16-0.
They won 3 Super Bowls running the ball, though. I mean, this is a separate conversation.
Yeah, look at Brady's stats the years they won the Super Bowl.
All I'm saying is look at the teams that were at the top of the list. Denver is the exception.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I like it.
I'm just saying, look, none of us
like
that.
You're not wrong.
None of us like that. We'd rather see Denver.
Yeah, we would.
We'd all rather see Denver.
We would. Oh, it's interesting. Okay, so Julian Edelman, here are your winning wide receivers. Julian Edelman, Golden Tate, and Emmanuel Sanders. Who's the biggest winner?
The biggest winner is either Tate or Sanders because of where they came from to where they are now.
Who do you like better, Tate or Sanders?
Tate is my favorite signing so far this offseason. It's very close between Tate and Sanders. I just don't know how much I trust Emmanuel Sanders. That's the problem. And he's fourth at best in terms of the pecking order. But Tate gets an opportunity that any of us would love to see happen. Guy who has okay to good skills, going to a system that should be great, with a quarterback that should be great. Single coverage all day. Plays on turf. Terrible division in terms of defensive backs, with Minnesota arguably being the best at this point, which those guys were good last year, but we'll see how they do when they have to face that offense. So, to me, Golden Tate is the biggest winner.
Dave?
I still like Edelman better than Tate.
Oh, I like Edelman better than Tate, too.
One better than
absolutely.
The other.
I'm just talking
but
about,
I'm with you. I think Tate's better than Emmanuel Sanders.
The point is who improved themselves. Like, Edelman, the best thing Edelman did was stay where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he had gone somewhere else, you know, Dave illustrated this certainly better than I did last year with how much he stuck by Welker, is that the best place Welker could have ended up was Denver. Well, there is no Denver for Edelman to go to if he was going to leave. So he did the best thing for his fantasy value, which was to stay.
All right, so 10 losers. You have two quarterbacks here, Drew Brees and Cam Newton. We talked about Cam. So, Dave, you're nervous about Drew Brees, number one?
Well, you're taking away Darren Sproles. That's anywhere from 6 to, who knows, maybe even like 900 yards receiving right off the plate. The receiving core, kind of some question marks there. Colston didn't have a good year last year. On top of that, Kenny Stills is looking to be the number two receiver. We like Stills. We think he's got potential, but I don't think he's going to be close to 1,000 yards this year, Jamie. Kenny Stills, 1,000 yards.
Wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, it's a stretch.
Right. Jimmy Graham's his best player. They need to get him signed. If he misses training camp, who knows what that means for him. And Jamie already said this earlier on. The coaches say they want to get back to being a more run-oriented team. I agree with what you said, Adam, but I think in the early going, in the early part of the season, the coaches might stick by that, and they might run in the first half more than we're used to seeing. I'm a little nervous now, especially once he lost Sproles. I want to see them replace
Sproles. That good.
He had 71 catches last year.
Right.
That's still a big portion of the offense. That was a down year for Sproles, but it still helped Breeze. And Breeze over 3 years, last 3 years, he's averaged 662 passes. So if he goes from 662, let's just say, to 600, which wouldn't be surprising. I mean, look, if Ingram's healthy, if Robinson plays the level that he's capable of, they work in Pierre Thomas, who had, I think, 140-something carries last year.
No, that makes sense.
That's just taking the ball out of Drew Brees' hands a little bit. So I dropped Brees to third. Brees was second for me prior to all this stuff happening, and now he's third. I'll gladly take Brees. And if you look at my top 150, Brees and Rodgers are back-to-back because I think they're still very, very good upper echelon elite quarterbacks. But to Dave's point about Nick Foles, and this will go back to my overall argument, which I know you don't want to get into, but why would you reach for Drew Brees at the end of round one when you could get Nick Foles in round four? Or round three, if you're, you know, you're buying Dave's argument that he's going to be that great. This is kind of the whole setting of way the landscape of quarterbacks is. Drew Brees may be awesome again. He may be the number one quarterback again. That's fine. He could easily, or the second best quarterback. But if Foles is right there, or like for me, I like Kaepernick, Stafford's going to be great, Ryan's going to be great. Again, there's just a little bit of a downturn for Brees right now that we haven't seen or heard coming into it. And this is another team. You know, look, we can sit here and talk about Jimmy Graham is the best tight end in the NFL. But his receiving core, they just laid out for you.
No, it's not so good.
It's not so good.
They obviously have
to
address it.
They're going
to
get Joe Morgan back.
They did.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Nick Toon or whether or not they add somebody else. Maybe Robert Meacham comes
back.
And
Brees will make those guys great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing about Drew Brees is that he's capable of taking an okay receiver and turning him into a good receiver. And then in the case of a stud like Jimmy Graham, he can take a stud like Jimmy Graham and then turn him into, you know, the beast from the Southeast.
And calling him a loser for free agency does not mean he's a bust or bad. It's just, again, when you talk about those three quarterbacks at the top, you're nitpicking on who's the best of the best. And so for me right now, I'll take Rodgers and Peyton.
But not in that order.
Over Brees.
Peyton, right. Then Rodgers for
yeah.
you.
Sproles has had about 600 yards receiving each of the last 2 years, so I think that's what you've got to expect from him. Just, you know, maybe even a little bit less than that in Philadelphia. But last year, he still accounted for more than 10% of Drew Brees' passing yardage.
Darren Sproles and the Chargers' backfield, as Donald Brown is an addition, are fantasy losers.
Yes, you know, look, Sproles is going to help the Eagles. He's going to help Nick Foles. He's still going to be good. But we saw last year, a little bit slower, a little bit of a lesser impact on the fantasy realm comparatively to the NFL realm.
Yeah.
And so you illustrated his outdoors performance. They have 12 games outdoors in Philadelphia in 2014. So he was actually very good in 2012 outdoors.
He
played 5 or 6 games outdoors, and he had double-digit fantasy points in all of them. So, you know, you got to hope he gets back to that. But they're not taking LeSean McCoy off the field in stretches. They're going to work Sproles in as a weapon. I just don't know how great of a fantasy option going to be. Better in PPR, obviously, than standard formats. So I think just the fact, the reason I call him a loser is because of the indoor to outdoor move.
And, Dave, what do you think about the Chargers' backfield?
Oh, it's disgusting. Hopefully it clears itself up, but it probably won't happen for a year. Donald Brown, we already talked about this.
Yeah,
this was last week's podcast, but if you missed it, I think Donald Brown could fit into either role between Matthews and Woodhead. He can do those things. I don't know if he can necessarily do them to the same level that they do, but I think that they're going to try and work him in more than we're probably going to give credit for. Something along the lines of maybe 15 to 20 plays a game, which could mean 5 to 10 touches per game.
Not fantasy relevant.
Yeah, Donald Brown isn't going to be very fantasy relevant.
The only guy I'm drafting is Matthews. Anybody else wants
fine,
Donald Brown?
Fine.
And whatever.
You know what? I'll say this. I might draft Brown late just to have him on my bench, especially if I have Matthews.
That's fair. Going to handcuff. That's fine.
I think that's a fair deal.
Matthews or Arian Foster?
Foster.
I think it has to be Foster now. As
okay.
of now.
Matthews or Reggie Bush?
Bush.
Dave?
I still have Matthews right ahead of Bush. I'm going to stick with that.
All right, wide receiver losers, then we'll do some emails. Reggie Wayne and Akeem Nix.
You missed one.
Eric Decker.
Mm-hmm.
I was just,
he was going to go in reverse
around.
Alphabetical order somehow.
Eric Decker, Reggie Wayne, Akeem Nix, Riley Cooper, Steve Smith, and James Jones. We covered James Jones. We covered Decker a lot last week. So what do you think about Akeem Nix and Reggie Wayne, Jamie?
Well, I mean, look, Reggie Wayne still has to prove himself at 35, I believe he is, coming back from a torn ACL, and this doesn't help getting Akeem Nix to take away targets and potential opportunities for him. He hasn't been a good touchdown guy since Peyton Manning left, so you're now downgrading him a little bit in an offense that doesn't necessarily plan to feature him. So Reggie Wayne, to me, was a low-end number two, high-end number three before this move, and now he's a low-end number three.
Who's the... stupid question, now that I know where you value him. Who's the best wide receiver for the Colts this year?
Hilton.
Hilton? Dave?
I want to say Hilton.
Say it.
Okay, I'm going to say it.
This is a fun zone. You can say whatever you want. Not true, actually.
Oh, because I was about to...
Don't be like, nah, no.
I don't like to diet.
Animator.
I'm on some sort of thing right now where I'm not allowed to have carbs.
Really?
Like, at all. Yeah, it just started yesterday.
Oh, interesting.
Thanks, honey.
How's that going?
It's terrible, actually.
Are you allowed to eat meat?
Yes. But
so
my life is now like
Chima.
Meats and egg whites and vegetables.
Ah, you'll be all right.
Can't even have milk.
It's the Passover diet.
Can't even have
milk. Oh, milk.
No milk, no cheese.
Interesting.
No fun.
Ooh, that is tough. No fun.
No fun, except for the podcast. These are great because everybody loves to hear what I'm putting in my mouth.
Steve Smith is a
Hilton
loser.
Hilton has the most potential.
But is Torrey Smith a loser?
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think Torrey Smith will benefit a little bit from Gary Kubiak.
He might benefit a little bit from Steve Smith.
And Dennis Pitta. It's a good yeah. offense. I mean, you know, it was hard, really. I wanted to fit Joe Flacco into the winners because he's somebody that I don't want to draft, but I think I might find myself after if I want to take a second quarterback because he gets Pitta, he gets now Steve Smith, he gets Kubiak, who's going to do some wonders with his play-action stuff. If Ray Rice, who's lost 15 pounds already since last year, can get back to the Ray Rice that we
yeah,
remember.
He's surrounded.
Then he's got just every opportunity to be great. And Steve Smith is just fun to listen to. And he said he envisions himself as Kevin Walter in Gary Kubiak's
office. I
heard
that.
He said, "Yeah, he said." He said, "I'm not going to come in thinking I'm Andre Johnson. I'm going to come in and be Kevin Walter." Kevin Walter's best season was 2008, and he had, I want to say it was 68 catches for 890 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Oh, that's good.
So that would be on the high end of what Steve Smith is. Now, Kevin Walter had a lot of bad years, too.
Yeah.
So
There's no way Steve Smith scored 8 touchdowns.
No.
No.
And there's also no way, I don't think that Steve Smith is only going to score 4 like he did last year. But I think he can get 6. I think he'll be around 700 to 800 yards again. He'll be 50 to 60 catches. He's a complimentary receiver, but he's not somebody that's going to make you excited in fantasy. I will say that these two guys, Steve Smith, James Jones, are the two that I would have trouble figuring out who I would want the least.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of guys in fantasy that could, by the end of the year, put up numbers, but you're never going to want to start
exactly
on a weekly basis.
That's the case, is that both those guys are going to be very unpredictable.
We
Smith
should do a whole
especially.
Segment on that in, like, August.
All the unpredictable guys?
All the guys
well,
that
also,
you don't want to start and whatever. They might.
You don't want to rely on them as starters. Yeah, you might draft them just
it's
all, in
well,
case.
I think it's more drafting than starting.
I don't even draft those types of guys.
The problem is like, you know, I know I'm doing a lot of baseball drafts. I know you are as well, Adam, is that we're at the end of these drafts, and there's like, you know, baseball's so different because it's like prospect or, you know, I don't want to say rebound guy because these guys could fall into that category, but it's just, you know, these young guys are getting opportunities or first-time starters or fifth starters for pitchers and whatnot. You take chances on those guys.
Yeah.
And then it comes to guys like this that switch teams or, you know, get paid and complete opposite feeling. I don't want to take I don't want to take a 12th round pick on these guys.
No, I'd rather take a guy who has the potential to be awesome, like Marcus Wheaton. I would assume.
Absolutely. Like, Justin Hunter. Somebody
like
that.
Even if you think
sure.
Steve Smith at the end of the year is going to have better numbers than Wheaton.
Sure, you're going to take the shot
potential.
On the guy with more upside.
All right, let's do some emails for a few minutes. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. That's the letter I. Please put podcast. Football podcast, actually.
It's Wacky Wednesday.
In the subject line.
I'm glad you took all the tweets that I solicited. That's very nice.
I didn't see any.
There were a ton.
Dude, I never go on Twitter. I'm very anti-Twitter. Nicholas, where's he from?
Portland, Oregon.
By the way, I don't want people to stop following me. I love Twitter, and I want more followers, and I do still tweet the podcast all the time, and I answer questions. Nicholas from Portland, Oregon says, "Dear Dennis, Charlie, and Mac, who should I keep in a non-PPR league for a 12th-round pick, Keenan Allen or Michael Crabtree?"
I would go Crabtree.
Me too.
Billy from Atlanta says, "Stop the madness! In the past weeks and years, many people have been throwing around deep and shallow in reference to position. Mainly quarterback, wide receiver is super deep, and tight end running back is shallow. I don't see how people say this because I see quarterback and running back and tight end being the same. In the quarterback position, I see three or four studs,
Adam.
And everyone else is the same and a significant step back. I see the same thing at tight end with one stud and running back with three or four studs. And after that, you can just wait forever because there are large tiers that are very similar."
Yeah, but the tiers that you're referring to, Billy, at quarterback and to a degree at running back, still have very, very good players that can help your fantasy team. Whereas if you go deeper into those tiers and you're stuck with the Joe Flaccos of the world at quarterback or the, Jamie, give me the name of a running back you don't want to draft.
Toby Garrett.
Worse than that.
D'Angelo Williams.
Donald Brown.
The D'Angelo Williamses of fantasy football. So I don't know. I think that those positions aren't nearly what you think they are, Billy. Billy,
and you only have to start one quarterback and one tight end.
The bottom line is, and I think kind of, I know I get away from this, but I think we do as a group as well, is that, you know, I'll sit here and say you don't take a quarterback in the first round. You know, you have different feelings on some of those late first round running backs. I know you do as well about where you take them. The bottom line is it's all the pieces of the puzzle and how they come together. Because if you end up making the right picks in the right spots, it doesn't necessarily matter what the tiers are. It's a lot of these guys are going to outperform those tiers. Or conversely, when you're going to struggle is because they're going to fail. So it all comes down to how you build your team. You take those two receivers early. If you end up with the stud quarterback, if you end up with this year's Nick Foles and this year's Le'Veon Bell and Eddie Lacy, your team's going to look awesome.
Yeah.
So it's all the piece of the puzzle. So I don't think you know necessarily worry about, you know, when you hear us say shallow deep, we're just giving you our opinions on how those positions shape up. It depends on how it comes together.
And here's Larry in Fort Worth, Texas. 8-team half-point PPR keeper league. You get to keep 5, but at least one has to have been a rookie or sophomore. So here's 10 possibilities. Pick five. And again, one has to be either a rookie or sophomore. Doug Martin, Ryan Matthews, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, Alshon Jeffrey, Keenan Allen, DeSean Jackson, Rob Gronkowski. My goodness.
Well, the only sophomore he has is Allen.
Doug Martin. I think.
What about Alshon?
I think has to have been.
Oh, have been. Oh, okay. I'm
right.
Sorry.
So Alshon's okay, in that
so,
mix.
So Martin, Alshon, and
Martin
and Allen.
Well, Martin is your qualifier because I would imagine you're keeping him. So there's one.
Yeah, I think you're keeping Peterson. That's two.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Peterson.
First name on the list.
Oh, I didn't even see that, nor did I read it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson's one of the possible keepers for him.
Go ahead. We got to end the show, so just give me five.
I'd go Peterson, Martin, Dez, Julio, Gronk, if he's healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
And give me your final four.
Florida's a champion. That's all I know. Florida, Michigan State.
Me too.
I want to say maybe Louisville having there.
Yeah, most people do.
Yeah. I don't know who the fourth team is.
I'll bring up my bracket.
I think I went.
So people can do the opposite.
I think I'm going to change it up, but right now I have Michigan State beating Florida, but those two in the final four.
You're a joke.
Michigan State, Florida, Creighton, and Duke. And I think I have Michigan State over Creighton, but I have to really do some Creighton research because I'm not feeling that.
I don't really do the brackets anymore, but we do one in the office. Like, it's a whole CBS Interactive deal. And so you've got to be a little bit different to have a chance to win. I'm with you on Creighton.
Yeah, all right.
Creighton, Michigan State, Florida, and Wichita State.
Okay. David,
did you know? Here's some trivia. Wichita State has not lost a game this year.
Not only that, Dave, they almost beat the national champions last year in the Final Four, and they have basically the same exact team returning. So people don't want to take them seriously. Some do, but a lot of people don't. But you probably should.
And if we covered
that's
you...
That's having seen like two Wichita State games.
If we covered you in yellow paint and stuck some wheat into your hair, you would look just like the Wichita State mascot. You really would. Look at that guy.
Let me see.
We got to get a little sweater. Yeah, look at me. Right down to the unibrow. That's you.
Awesome. Except okay, thanks everyone.
His hair is straight, yours is curly.
All right, but I could get curly.
Jamie, we need gold paint.
Goodbye. We'll talk to you next week.
Get some wheat.
Have a good one.
Bye.